right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us over to Genesis. And we'll be this morning in chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And this morning, we are, in addition to continuing our series through the Bible, we're also continuing the story and the account of Abram and into Abraham and Sarai into Sarah. And looking this morning at another example of faith in God, another example of having faith, being faithful, having faithfulness, and God being faithful and faithful and having faithfulness towards us. As we look at the truth this morning, that God always keeps his word. And this morning we're going to be looking at the birth of Isaac. The birth of Isaac here in Genesis chapter 21. And who would like to read there for us verses 1 through 8? Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Miss Martha, go ahead.
The birth of Isaac. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old. When his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so here we see that several things as we think about God keeping his word this morning. The very first thing we see in verses 1 and 2 is that Sarah conceives and delivers a son. Now, what makes this interesting and what makes it more noteworthy, if we can use that word there, is that both Abraham and Sarah here, by this point, they're very old in age. They're very up there in age. In fact, notice there, if you would, verse number 6, the Bible says, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Because by this point, she's old. Abraham's old. And at the point, at the time that they find themselves in, the last thing they're thinking about is conceiving children. The last thing they're thinking about is giving birth to children. But yet, here it is. The Lord allows Sarah to conceive, and the Lord allows Sarah to deliver a son named Isaac. And we know that God fulfills his word right on time. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And here's why. Because she judged him, talking about God, faithful who had promised. And so, you see, one of the things we need to realize this morning is that our timing is not necessarily God's timing. And, you know, sometimes we think, okay, certain things need to happen, and it needs to happen in this set time, by this set period. And if it doesn't, well, that obviously isn't God's will, or it isn't what God wants for me. But then it doesn't happen, but then later on, either that happens or something better happens. And we sit back and we think, okay, you know what? Maybe God knew what he was doing in the first place. Maybe God had a plan that was going to work out. And that's what we need to realize, that God fulfills his word, but it's not in our timing. It's in his timing. And his timing is always perfect. His timing is always right. And then we see that he names his son when they have him. There in verse number 3, Abraham names their son Isaac. And Abraham remembers his first reaction to God's words. In fact, go back, if you would, Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And who'd like to read there verses 15 through 19? Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. Katie, go ahead.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him.
All right, and so here we see Abraham, he names their son Isaac, but we see his first reaction to when God tells them that, okay, you're going to bear a son. And Abraham, here it says he falls upon his face and he laughs. I mean, could you imagine? God comes to you, God tells you something, and you find it to be so outside the realm of possibility. I mean, you just fall down and you laugh and you, I mean, it just seems like, God, you know, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm 100 years old. My wife, she's 90. We're old. There's no way we could possibly have kids. And then you notice what God says unto him. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And so I can imagine God here looking at Abraham as he's laughing and carrying on and talking about how this couldn't possibly be. You know, we're old, I'm 100, she's 90. No way is she going to bear a child. And God says, Abraham, she's going to have a child indeed. You know, in other words, you know, it's kind of like God, you know, you think about a parent getting stern with a child, or you know, a spouse, you know, giving the spouse look or whatever the case may be. You know, you're laughing, you're carrying on. And then God says, hey, Abraham, she's going to have a child. And God said she's going to have a child. And sure enough, she conceives this child. She has this child. And they name him Isaac. And so then in verse number 4 there in chapter 21, we see that Abraham keeps his covenant with God, and that's what circumcision was. It confirmed that he believed God's promise. So you're there in chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, and who would like to read there verses 10 through 14? Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Martha. And so we see Abraham, he keeps his covenant with God. Circumcision confirms that he believed God's promise, even though there a little bit later on in chapter 17, he laughs, he kind of doubts God, but he goes on in chapter 21 and he circumcises him and shows that he believes God's promise. Then we see in verses 5 through 7 there in chapter 21, now Sarah sees the humor. Sarah sees the humor. So we saw Abram's and Abraham's reaction here in chapter 17. Go over, if you would, chapter 18. Because now we're going to see Sarah's first reaction to God's word. Now God's going to tell Sarah, okay, Sarah, now you're going to have this child. Now we're going to see Sarah's reaction to this over in chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And notice there, if you would, verses 9 through 15. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. The Bible there says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." And so in chapter 21, we see Sarah, she makes this comment, she laughs because now she's had the kid. She sees God's promise has come to fruition. God has kept his word. God has kept his promise. But her first reaction was the same as that of Abraham. She laughs within herself, and she doubts God's word. I'm old. Am I really going to have a child? And I love that that question there. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, oftentimes we look at things that God has for us or God wants for us, and we sit back and we think, you know what? Surely that can't happen. Surely that can't come to pass. And then we need to be reminded of this verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that is no. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. If the Lord has it for you, if the Lord wants you to partake of it, if the Lord has it in store as a plan and a purpose, like we saw last week, for your life, then he's going to see to it that that plan, that purpose comes to fruition. And we see here, you know, then Sarah, she says, no, I didn't laugh. You know, I was afraid. And he said, nay, but, you know, thou didst laugh. You did laugh, you know. And so she laughed. She remembers her first reaction to God's word. And then there, verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 21, we see Isaac, he begins to grow. And so Abraham celebrates his son's strength. And his good health there in verse number 8. And then Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we have an assurance this morning that God's word stands. God's word is sure. If God says it, then it's going to come to pass. His word is true. His word is sure. And we need to have that faith in his word, that when he tells us something, whether in his word, through our prayer time, our devotions, whatever the case may be, no matter how, no matter how out there it may seem, if God gives us these promises, we need to know that they're going to come to pass. And so as we think about and look more at the birth of Isaac this morning, there are several things we want to see. The first being that God already has planned how he will help you to fulfill your call. Each one of us here has a call on our life from God. God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us. And God already has a plan in place to help us fulfill that call. Whatever that call is, whatever his plan for your life is, God has a plan to help you make that plan work and to put that plan into practice in your life. Because God knew all along, here in Genesis chapter 21, he knew all along that he was going to give Abraham, that he was going to give Sarah, this miracle baby, Isaac, to fulfill his promise and his plan. And we know that God always enables those whom he calls. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the Bible tells us, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And so we think this morning about the plans that God has for us. We think about the purposes that God has for us. God has the plan all prepared before he ever makes the promise, before he ever shows us something in his word, before he ever confirms something in our life. He already has the plan all prepared before he makes the promise. You know, that's where God differs from us, isn't it? You know, how many times do we maybe, you know, we make a promise or we say this or we say that, and we have no earthly idea how we're going to make it happen. We have no earthly idea how it's going to come to fruition, right? We just kind of wing it. We just kind of, you know, go with the flow. You know, God isn't like that. You know, when God makes us a promise, he has A, B, and C all lined up. He says, okay, you do A first, you do B, you do C, and you reach your destination. Us, you know, it's like we just kind of get in the car and we go. You know, we know what our final destination is, but we don't know how we're going to get there. And even if we know how we're going to get there, sometimes we deviate from the plan. And when Amanda and I first got married.
Again with this story.
We were driving and she says, "Hey, I know a shortcut." I said, "But the GPS isn't saying to go there." She says, "Don't worry about the GPS. I know where I'm going." We wound up going a half hour out of our way.
An hour
out of our way. Because she knew a shortcut. And we didn't even wind up with a good meal out of this. I think we wound up with like a...
So
it's like, usually, you know, you wind up out of your way. You find this good hole-in-the-wall restaurant. We didn't even find a good hole-in-the-wall restaurant anywhere. It was a waste of time. And, that's us. But that's not God. God, when he has a plan for us, when he has a purpose for us, when he has a calling for us, he has everything lined out the exact way that we need to go. And you know, people, they make promises and then try to figure out how they're going to keep them. God makes the provisions first, and then he makes the promise, and then tells us what he has provided. And we may have to wait to receive it, but that does not mean that he hasn't yet provided it. But then secondly, this morning, we see God always keeps his word. God always keeps his word. Again, Genesis 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, "As he had said, as he had spoken." You know, sometimes we think about faith and we think that faith is walking blindly, right? That's what sometimes we think faith is. But faith is not walking blindly. Faith is not going somewhere with, you know, your eyes covered and blinders on, and that's not what faith is. Faith is not walking blindly, assuming that everything will turn out right, assuming that everything will work out right. No, faith is taking God at his word. That's what faith is. God has said it. We believe it. That it's going to happen, that it's going to come to pass, that it's going to come to fruition. And there's nothing more sure in this world today than the Word of God. There's nothing more sure in this world today than the Bible. And, you know, the world, they walk by sight. And by walking by sight, they'll never understand someone who lives by faith. Because when a man learns to take God at his word, to walk by faith, that's far more secure than living by sight. Because, you know, if we live by sight, man, we wouldn't get much accomplished at all if we live by what we just see in front of us. You know, we look at the world around us, we look at everything that's happening, and it's very hard to, especially on our side today, to live by faith. But that's exactly what God calls us to do. He calls us to live by faith, knowing that God always keeps his word. And then thirdly, we see this morning that God is seeking for people who trust him to keep his word. God is seeking for people who trust him to keep his word. You see, God was able to work through Abraham and Sarah, not because they were some special people, not because they were, you know, necessarily specially called or whatever the case may be. No, God was able to work through them because they trusted him to keep his word. They trusted him to keep his word. Hebrews 11:11, the Bible again says, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And the next part of the verse is key, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, God places a very high value on faith. When he finds someone who is willing to take him at his word, that's when he can work in miraculous ways. You know, God says, hey, you know, let's say he comes to Miss Martha, right? And he says, Miss Martha, you know, you're going to have a child next month.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, right? And
celebration time.
That's right. And now you have a choice. You have a decision you're going to make. You're either going to be like Abraham and Sarah was at first and laugh it off and say, Lord, I'm retired. I'm a little bit of older age. No way I'm having a child. Or you can be like they were later on and trust him, believe him, take him at his word. And that's when he can work in miraculous ways. Think about Mary this morning, right? The Virgin Mary. The angel comes to her and says, you're going to conceive the Son of God. Mary, who had never known a man, and yet here she was. She was going to conceive a child. She was going to conceive the Son of God. And she accepted that by faith after she got over the initial shock and the initial, you know, why me? And so on and so forth. Then the Lord, he was able to do the miraculous through her. But he's seeking for people today who's going to trust him to keep his word. You know, he gives us something. Are we trusting him or are we doubting him? I hope this morning that we are trusting him to keep his word. And then number four this morning, we see that God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. Genesis 21 and verse 2 again, the Bible says, at the set time. At the set time. You see, God's timing is part of keeping his word. And if you don't trust his timing, then you do not trust his word. And God knows precisely when to unveil every detail of his plans. You remember last week we looked at it. In fact, go there if you would to Genesis I think chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, if I can get my pages to cooperate here. Or chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. This is what we looked at last week. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So here God comes to him and says, okay, leave your country, leave your family, leave your house, go to this land that I will show thee. Nowhere here in the verse does God say, okay, leave these things and here's where you're going. He doesn't tell him this. He just says, leave, and I'll show you a land. Abram had to take God at his word, and he did. In verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He had to take the Lord at his word. And by taking the Lord at his word in the Lord's timing, the Lord revealed every detail of his plan to Abraham. You and I, we need to, when God shows us something in his word, or he has a plan for us, even if we don't know all of the details, we need to learn to trust his timing, that in his perfect time, at the perfect moment, that he's going to reveal every detail of his plan to us. But you know, that goes against everything in our nature. That goes against everything that we're used to, because we want every single detail right there, right then, because we don't like to be surprised. But God says, take me at my word, and I will reveal the details to you in my perfect timing, in my perfect will. And so we see God's timing is always perfect, even if it's not our timing. Mm-hmm. If it's his timing, it's perfect. You say, but it didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen. Well, that's okay. You're not God. And I'm not God. He's God. Yeah. And we need to learn to trust him and trust his timing. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see that God likes to do the unexpected. God likes to do the unexpected. And listen, it doesn't get any more unexpected than a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a baby. I mean, you tell me one other thing that you think is more unexpected than a 190-year-old couple having a baby. And, you know, we'd be hard-pressed to find anything. But Genesis 21 and verse 6, again, the Bible says, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Now, you see, don't ever think that you have God figured out. Because just the moment we think we have God figured out, he changes the script. You're right? You know, there's an old saying, man plans, God laughs. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, there was this show that I used to watch, and I still watch it from time to time. It was Becker with Ted Danson. And it was one of the season one episodes. And the basic premise of the show is Becker's a neighborhood doctor. He has a neighborhood practice, and one of his patients comes in for a routine physical, for a routine checkup, and this patient invites Becker to go to the hockey game that night with him. It was the Rangers and another team, and tickets had been sold out for months, and so Becker was excited. He wanted to go to the game, and so you know, hilarity ensues. You know, with everything happening at the office, but they get everything finished, and towards the end of the episode, Becker gets a call, and this patient that he just seen that morning drops dead. And Becker's beside himself. He goes looking through his file and everything else and seeing if there was anything he missed. And, you know, and his secretary, the nurse who ran the office, she was a believer. Basically, Becker's an atheist and, you know, didn't really believe in God. And so she's trying to console him that, you know, God has a higher plan, and that, you know, but here it was. These two, they had a plan to go to a hockey game and enjoy one another's company and so on and so forth. He had just had his physical, everything checked out, everything was fine. And then that night, right, or that afternoon, there at his office, this guy drops dead, and that was it. Man plans, God laughs. And, you know, we try and figure out God, and, you know, we need not to do it, because we can never figure God out. We can never figure the Lord out, because he will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know yet, that you haven't even been able to conceive yet. Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And not only that, not only don't try and figure God out, but don't expect God to work the same way twice in what he is doing. What we need to do is proceed in obedience, trusting him to keep his word, for he always does. You know, just, you know, you look at somebody else, and we're the biggest thief of joy is comparing ourselves to somebody else. Because sometimes we can look at somebody else and say, man, look at how God's blessing them. And look at how God's taking care of them. Or look at how God's doing this in their life. And we miss what God's doing in our life. And that's what God and who God is. He doesn't work the same way twice necessarily. And just because he's blessing somebody else in a certain way doesn't mean he's not blessing and taking care of us and you. And so, you know, we try and figure God out. We try and get him into this box. We try and, you know, get him down to a science. And that's just not God. That's just not who he is. But he is a God who, when he says something, he gives a promise. We can take him at his word. His word is sure. His word is secure. His word, just as we're sitting here today, and we're reading about this story, whatever it is that he promises you, whatever it is that, you know, you've been praying about and he's giving you clarity on it, or whatever the case may be, you know, even those moments we want to doubt and we want to hem-haw around, we have to just remember God keeps his word. God is faithful. And, you know, we need to, in return, be faithful to him, because he will keep his word. He did here with Abraham and Sarah. And, you know, if he did it with them, and we have other accounts in scripture that he keeps his word, he will keep his word for us. And we just need to trust him. We just need to remember this morning that he is faithful. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on our day this day.